Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
All right, how are you guys doing? Today's episode is sponsored by GhostBed. Yes, I actually just received and purchased a GhostBed. I'm not kidding, by the way. You know this. You actually helped me undo it. I bought a GhostBed for myself. They gave me a couple free pillows. That's what they gave me for being a sponsor of the channel. And I said, you know what? I'm going to buy one. So I bought one because I wanted a new bed. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, I love it. I'm not going to lie. So just want to throw that out there. I do actually buy product. I spent like $2,300 on a bed from GhostBed. So, and I use my own promo code.
Oh yeah,
I'm just gonna let everybody
know. Slot
I did that. Yeah, I got a slot. No, I don't make any money off the promo code.
Oh right.
No, I don't. I just save 20%.
So. Making money. Mm. That's passive. Have you seen those memes? It's like, would you rather $10 million now or 25 cents a day? It's like, that's passive, bro. And it's just like some one of those like e-commerce bros just walking off. That's like one of the things me and my mates have. It's like, if he buys me a coffee and it's like $4, I'm like, that's passive, bro. That's like our biggest thing. Well, there we're on. Now we're professional. Everything's going to shit around here.
No, my back is absolutely throttled.
You started playing football.
I attempted to start playing flag football, but I've got a terrible back from, thank God the military did it to me. I couldn't even get out of bed this morning. I had to roll out of bed. Couldn't even stand up straight. I didn't tell you this. I could not stand up straight for like 2 to 3 minutes. I had to get back down on my knees on the floor, do some stretches, and slowly stand up and do this kind of motion to get myself actually vertical.
And I've been unplugging all the PowerPoints you've needed for you. Like, really? Can you come do this?
Yeah. I woke up
to you in the massage chair just like,
I'd been in the massage chair for like over an hour. I found out 2 days ago it actually has a heater inside the massage chair. So Charles is actually editing this video for us. So Charles, guess what? There's a heater in the massage chair we never even knew about a couple days ago. Yeah, he's having been plugging everything in. He's literally been plugging everything in for me. And Willie and I are actually starting another podcast together. It's going to be called Two Blokes. I think we've actually spoken about it before. We filmed a...
We filmed two. One got deleted.
Because of Charles.
And then I had a big night on the
he had a massive night.
At the top comment on one of these years a while back was like, that Willie guy just talked about alcohol. I actually don't drink that much. Like, ask anyone back home, I reckon I drink maybe once every couple of months. But I don't believe in having like a casual beer every day. I'm like, I'll save up my 2 months of non-drinking.
You saved it.
And have four. I didn't think I was that drunk.
You were.
No, oh I will say, God. You and I were out shooting all day.
Yeah.
We barely ate.
We didn't.
We were dehydrated. Yep. It was hot. We took a bottle of water each. And for like 6 hours, I was done within like the first 20 minutes. And we were like going down with heat.
I don't think we should tell the whole thing.
Right? Okay, we won't.
You know what we're going to do? Is if you guys would like to follow Willie and I along on this new journey, which I guess is going to be, it's going to happen. 1,000,000%. We've been talking about that today. It's going to be called Two Blokes. You guys would like to follow along, you guys can. You guys subscribe down below. It'll be on all podcast platforms as well. I will go ahead and link it. I will go ahead and link it down below, though.
Yeah, the other one can't because of the copyright issues with me doing the karaoke songs on the TV. Like, Cammy, what song do you want?
An hour and a half deep, he just wants to keep going. And he was so hammered, so shmammered.
I'm talking. I don't drink all day.
He had drank like two. He took one of my bottles and pulled the cap off. And it was like trying to pour it. And dude, it was like you were pouring, but you were pouring it on the side of the glass, down your hand, onto your shirt. I was just thinking to myself, then you put one on the top of the glass table and you spilled the whole glass off to the left onto the floor. And you said, oops.
I was spraying that with stuff.
With the dog pee stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Cammy, I'm still got her eyes are real big. And I'm just like, I guess it's a white carpet and whiskey. Can't do much, right?
You don't invite someone into your house if they're an idiot. And you've made that mistake.
We haven't seen you guys in a couple of days, so Ukraine has been doing some stuff.
Oh, there's been some stuff happening.
I've been bouncing around looking at some Russian state TV, the normal propaganda stuff. I'm not going to really share any of the videos with you guys. I've watched them. They're worried. The tone of the voice has completely changed. They're calling for more people to come in. I could show you guys on a map exactly what's been going on here in a minute. It's kind of interesting. Same thing that happened in, I think it's called Govryad. Gorvy. a graveyard, like a week ago. I'm probably mispronouncing it, but it doesn't really matter. Just outside of...
Graveyard?
Graveyard.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was having to think about...
Gravy Lord.
Just outside of Sumy, or just north of Sumy.
Yeah, it's very difficult to get an idea of what is actually going on. Like... Truthfully, because the maps, you'll have these two maps, which are just completely opposite figures. And you'd be like, well, I don't know. Like, and some of the trusted maps are very, very slow to update with information. Geolocating things is difficult. Some things are, like, say that this is location and it's not. So it's like, it's so difficult. But things are happening. There's movements.
There's a lot of videos out there, too, that they can't be geolocated. I believe they're from the areas we were speaking about. And Ukrainians have, once again, actually with the help of a little bit of Polish, not Polish military people, but they probably were at one point some Polish military people, but Polish volunteer group, I think is what they're called. They have actually peeled across. I'm going to go ahead and pull up some mapping for you guys, just because I think, you know what, we're at the beginning of the video. Let's go ahead and do this so you guys can have an understanding of what we're talking about. Now, as you guys can tell, here is Kharkiv. This is an area that was once... somewhat contested, I guess, by the Russians.
It was almost surrounded at one point.
Yeah, at one point. I would say contested. I'm in surrounded, my bad.
Yep.
This area that I'm talking about, so is going to be just north of Kharkiv, just south of Belgrade, in between, just on the opposite side of the border. I didn't put all the areas that some claim have been taken by the Ukrainians because it's almost way too hard to believe. It's kind of one of these things where I think we should just wait and... When I say taken, I don't even think they have a big enough force to grasp and hold. I think they're doing this for other reasons, which I'll talk about here in a second. But right now, here are the two areas. So Shabinko, which I'm pretty sure I jacked the name up, but it doesn't really matter. It's a fairly large area. Like these, between that and Novaya Tavolzanka, God bless me. But those two areas, they're actually pretty heavily populated. And there's a lot of videos that are going around of Ukrainians shelling them. So over the last 24 hours, the Ukrainians have shelled the absolute piss out of Shabinko. That is very true. You guys can go look at firms. You guys can see all that. They have been absolutely hitting that in some areas around the actual border itself, which I would assume are just possible known positions the Russians are holding up. I don't really know. But you guys know that Belgorod, from the beginning of the war, has kind of been a hub for the Ukrainians for their logistics pushing down south. I know... They may have shifted quite a bit of this out of there since they now pretty much focused a ton on Bakhmut for the last 3 or 4 months. So Belgorod may not be as big of a logistical hub as it was in the past. And they're having a bit of issues along the border, which that's why I think the Ukrainians keep making these...
incursions.
Yeah, they're just keep going in. Like, I don't think the area you guys are seeing on this map right now, I don't think they're going to hold this area. They're proving clearly that they can pop across the border real quick, hit the Russians in the jaw, and then bounce out of there. What I think they're going to continue to do is do this all across this randomly on these borders as much as they can. I know that sounds pretty crazy, but if you guys think about it, there's a few reasons why they would want to do this. The border is, what, about, we'll say 1,000 miles long. We talked about
1,500 km, so it's 1,000 miles-ish.
1,000-ish miles, which is, that's quite significant. That puts the Russians in a bit of a predicament if the Ukrainians constantly, if they're doing this every 3 days or every 4 days in random spots, going in. I mean, what is the civilian population side of Russia going to really think of their own government that can't even hold down their own border? Which, the only way for the Russians to actually secure and hold this border for any amount of time or any real way to do it, I guess, would be they would have to shift some of the personnel and the supplies and their armored equipment and everything actually onto this border. They don't have the people inside of Russia, they just don't have it. They have to call up more people and or pull people off the line and equipment off the line to actually make this a possibility. But then you come to the actual conclusion that it's going to be physically impossible to maintain a 1,000-mile border. It's just not going to happen. So they're either going to have to set up quick reaction forces, which is the most likely course of action I would think is going to happen. They're going to have a Belgorod QRF. Then they're going to have, I don't know any of the bigger names of cities, but you know, all along the border, the bigger cities would have QRF, which would now bleed down to another minor site cities, what I would think, that would have a connection to the larger city in that what do you want to call it? Oblast? Oblast region. The region. And that's what my thinking is. That's what... And also, I think this is the start of the counteroffensive. A lot of people keep... I mean, did you see that video that the Ukrainians put across Crimea on the TVs? It was kind of funny. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but I kept seeing it over and over.
Yeah, I was actually going to talk about the video. It's like they're saying, like, be quiet.
Yeah, be quiet. Which, I mean, it's good propaganda. It's actually great propaganda. Over the last week, we've seen the Ukrainians push out two very good pieces of propaganda. One about 7 days ago, where they're talking about the counteroffensive actually starting. And now they're pushing out this one. And then they're starting to do these pop shots, you should say, across the border into Russia, which is really kind of crazy if you guys think about it, to be honest with you. They're not going over there to hold any ground. They're going to basically hit them in the jaw, come back, and then I think force them around. But I do think this is really the beginning of a counteroffensive. If they can possibly get and force the Russians who have to shift their mindset and their men to the north. I really do think so.
Well, there has been a movement of equipment and people there. Now, we don't know how much, if any, has been taken off the front line and moved to those positions. But absolutely, there's been things like these, what we would call QRF units, but other sort of anti-terrorist units set up from the FSB, apparently, like Russia's security branch, to then hit these. So that's the thing, though, with the QRF, is the QRF doesn't stop the border crossing. And the border crossing, the PR that you get from that is basically the win anyway to
the
come back.
The PR is amazing.
The PR is incredible.
That's all anybody's talking about right now. I don't care. There was also a chunk, by the way, that was taken in the south that no one's even talking about. That would have been the number one thing people would have cared about down there in Zaporizhia region.
I got a lot of people talking about
that. I mean, it's not really that big of it. It's the same type of chunk that they took a couple months ago and then absolutely got throttled. That is the Ukrainians. They got throttled after that. They pushed south. They took, I don't know, a few miles over the ground, and they pushed the Russians back. Literally, I had this mapping, which is kind of crazy, mapped out still the same circles and same outlines, and they just regained or retook back ground that they had lost previously. It's just been back kind of a back and forth. But this popping across, the reason why it's so effective when you're talking about mainstream media, because people here in America are actually talking about that.
Yeah,
no one talks about them taking chunks of ground in Zaporizhia.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
No one talks about that. But when they pop across the border and they hit Russia in the jaw, they start talking about it. And CNN was the one that actually picked it up because Fox doesn't give absolutely, they don't care anything about Ukraine. But they talked about it and maybe people cared for about 30 minutes and now they're back to their summer here in America.
Yeah, it's nice weather. But so there are some interesting parts, and particularly that's really come out in the last 24 hours, and this is actually relating back to other crossings as well, is that Polish volunteers, and these volunteers, you can't be in the Foreign Legion if you haven't had some level of military background. Yeah. Well, actually, that's incorrect. Some guys are, but the majority have had, a degree of military experience, and some units only combat experience as well.
Would James Vasquez be a part of the Polish military?
He is the Polish military. James Vasquez is the guy with his face blurred out because he's in the Grom. No, but this is raising a lot of speculation around this because, it's confirmed that they're speaking Polish. They are Polish volunteers. And a lot of people, and this is part of the PR of this, is, there's been the pro-Ukrainian side pick up that look at all the, the Poland's now crossing in, all this other support, this is great, whatever. And then the pro-Russian side are like, how dare they do this, whatever. But always what I say with this is any publicity is good publicity in a way. So the more this is getting talked about, like you said, then increases people's interest on this. But there are questions asked about Western weapons and foreign troops crossing borders and where the support is from that. Now, America has basically been like, we don't want anything to do with that. Germany has said it's fine in self-defense, and the UK has said very similarly that if you are hitting targets across in self-defense,
it is.
No, I'm not saying. I think
America is looking at this. They're tiptoeing around the actual thing. Like this is 100% legal. This is 100% right. This is 100% should have been happening since the beginning. But now they're in the position to do it. There's also something down in Bakhmut that's been going on that we are not entirely. We don't know if that's true or not. Which I guess we should probably leave that alone for now.
Southwest.
A lot of people
are saying that video is fake.
Okay, we're just going to leave that alone
because
for now.
Because at the end of the day, I'll just say this on points of watching videos of people making statements, soldier making a statement. The entire east of Ukraine, pretty much every Ukrainian speaks either Ukraine or Russian as their first language, but everyone speaks Russian. Ukrainian and Russian languages are very similar. As far as, it's not English to French. It's very similar language. Every Ukrainian will speak at least some or Russian as their first language. Now, a lot of people are shifting to speaking Ukrainian only because of this war. But just because you see someone in a Ukrainian or a Russian uniform with the matching patches saying something in Russian doesn't exactly mean that he's a Ukrainian or a Russian soldier. Those videos are very easy to script. If you tried to put me in a Ukrainian uniform and make a statement, or a Russian uniform, you tell straight away that guy's not, he doesn't speak that language. Yeah. But if you and I could go on Amazon right now, get a Wagner Group patch or a Ukrainian patch or a Russian patch, within a second, you could order those in a uniform and then stage something from that.
Can I get a Wagner Group patch on Amazon?
Absolutely, you could.
Wagner.
I'm not sure on Amazon, but you could get them online. Plenty of stores sell them. That's where I got, if I need like the symbol for a thumbnail of Wagner Group, it was off some website, like just down the road here, so I could copy the symbol to put in the thumbnail.
I think I can. I can buy a 9-piece Russian FSB KGB patches.
There you go.
I don't know which one. I don't think any of those are is that not kind of weird? None of those are... Or a Wagner Group. I could have sworn it is. Wagner Group is like a weird Wagner circle thing, right? This thing right here.
There's
right?
actually a few. No, that's not it. That's SSO. That's like a. That's actually based off some other things.
Well, you can't buy a direct Wagner Group one, but I could buy just about anything else off of.
Maybe Amazon wasn't a great.
No, but I could buy a Poundtown patch.
Yeah.
A ticket to Poundtown.
Just Googled Wagner patch.
No, I'm
Cooler Tactical. Etsy.
Etsy, yeah, cool. All right, there's someone on Etsy. Yeah,
that's AliExpress, Russian military store. Yeah, but
I get
what
it.
eBay. What I'm saying is, there's it's not difficult to fake, and there's a lot of faked stuff like this, and it's so difficult to know what's true, what's not.
But if it is true, then good on them. But I don't believe it to be true. It could be. We don't know yet.
Well, you're thinking too, though. Like, HOTO, like handover takeover positions, is difficult right on the front line. And Wagner Group are pulling out 100% from... Actually, that's actually somewhat incorrect as well. And I actually was checked on this by the British MOD, not personally, but reading in some stuff, was everyone's saying Wagner's pulling out of Bakhmut completely. That is correct for their assault troops, their assault brigades. They're all pulling out of Bakhmut. But Wagner is leaving... detachments of training staff there as the VDV, who are originally on the flanks, are taking over the positions there. So what a lot of people are saying is there will be positions at the very zero line, like those very front positions, which they fill the rear positions, take out from those positions, and there will be a slight shift in the border, or the held territory border there, of where positions have uptaken or not. Because if you're holding a sheet position 50 metres in front, you'll refill the 50-metre behind position with whoever's doing handover and collapse that and move back. So there's going to be a lot of those moves. And we've seen this in both sides. You want the best possible defensive position you can get.
Well, if you're looking for the best possible sleep you can get, so many of us hot sleepers out there, if you guys are waking up and sweating and you guys are not able to get back to sleep, you're not alone. I'm one of those kind of guys. My wife's one of those type of ladies. And if your mattress and bedding can play a big role in this, guess what? That's where Ghostbed can help. Ghostbed is a family-owned company and the makers of coolest beds in the world. They've been designing cooling mattresses for the last 20-plus years with the signature materials and technology to help thousands of people across the U.S. get the sleep they deserve, like myself. I personally bought one of these mattresses. I use my own code. I'm not even kidding. I could go take a quick video if you guys really need me to show you guys. I personally have. I even bought their bed sheets because they're amazing. I literally have been sleeping on their bed sheets that are made for their bed because, like, yeah, why would I want to use some trash bed sheets with this big, beautiful bed, this squishy, comfortable? Oh, God, it's so good. Anyway, from their signature Ghost Ice fabric to their patented technology that adjusts with your body temperature, every Ghost Bed mattress is designed with cooling in mind. That's what I'm telling you guys. Try them out. So for a limited time, you guys actually get 40% off all Ghostbed mattresses plus two luxury pillows. Use promo code Rob at ghostbed.com/Rob to take advantage of this exclusive offer. Take 40% off all Ghostbed mattresses plus get two luxury pillows, which I'm going to tell you guys right now, my dog absolutely loves sitting on that pillow at the end of the bed. It's amazing. So I'm just throw that out there. Go to ghostbed.com/Rob to get 40% off plus two free pillows. That's ghostbed.com/Rob, promo code Rob. But going back to the stuff that's been going on inside of on the border, I really do believe, I'm going to say this once again, that the counteroffensive, we've been joking that it hasn't kicked off and hasn't started, I think it has.
I think it has too. I think it's actually been going for weeks.
Well, it could have been.
In the beginning of the season.
We're just seeing it start to come to fruition a little bit. I don't know how the Russians are going to be able to react. And you're going to go against me on this one. I know 100%. I don't think the Russians have the capabilities. They probably have a little bit of the manpower, but it's kind of like the same deal with China. 10 years ago, China had the manpower. Okay. They didn't have the training or the equipment or anything else to really, or even the actual gear, I guess you would say, to fit those million man army. Russia, they might have the gear.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide children's marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide children's marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Update your home and save big money with Mastercraft Doors at Menards. For over 50 years, Mastercraft has been making quality doors inside and out. Choose from the best in-stock selection of interior and exterior doors ready to take home today. Or design your door your way with our free designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on Mastercraft Doors and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
But it's not the equivalent of American gear.
Oh, it's definitely not the equivalent.
It's just not the. They have the men. They have the bodies, but I don't think they have the bodies to facilitate holding off their border. I don't think that's a real thing. And mounting any real offensive inside of Ukraine. I don't think that's a good possibility. I don't think that's even a possibility of being a chance. And that's why I think they're doing these border things, is because it's going to force the Russians to shift the resources as men.
Oh, it's
going to force.
That's very true.
It's a great idea.
I think there's a few reasons in that, and I wouldn't push back on all of that, but it's definitely going to force more equipment deployment to other areas of which are not going to be frontline regions. So onto their own territory. That's 100%. They're going to have to do that.
Straight from Lviv and went north. Well, I guess that wouldn't be Russia.
But that'd be Belarus.
Yeah, it pretty much is Russia. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they were,
this is the issue too, though, with this front line lengthening, is if Russia mounted an offensive and had the way of really doing it to lengthen that front line, could do the opposite. Is they would do as they did in the initial offensive, they would launch from Belarus as well, because then what that gives is then an even longer border to Ukraine. But Ukraine has really built up massive defense and has built up fences, whatever, and mines areas around the Belarus or Belarusian border as well, because that can be done too. Because I remember in the initial phases of the war, when we were moving from, Lviv, Kiev, whatever, people were saying, what if they mount troops down through Lviv and cut off any escape out to Poland or any equipment going in? Now, should have that probably been done in a perfect world, in a perfect invasion?
It would have made sense.
But
they didn't use Belarus.
Russian troops, they staged a march.
They did not use that portion of Belarus. Let me rephrase that.
Oh, as far as the Western.
Yes,
portion.
They should have 100% done that. And yes. I don't really. You know why I think they probably didn't do that? And this is 2020 vision, or hindsight's 2020. It's probably because they thought it would have been so easy to push through Ukraine. They didn't even worry about it.
That was a lot of issues.
Yeah. I think they thought it was going to be so easy, which a lot of people here in the West thought it was, including myself. I didn't think the Ukraine was going to stand the chance past 2 weeks or maybe a month. I don't know.
Yeah.
When I started covering, I was like, God, this is crazy. And then they held them off. I remember them getting their absolute teeth kicked in as they were moving towards the capital. Mm. And they just got stuck. And just absolutely
the artillery
just,
was
just frozen. Mm. And that was it. But imagine if they would have actually started from that most western edge of Belarus and actually came down and controlled all those.
Well, that's what when I was with a couple of guys in that region, we thought was the most likely, because we were saying that's what we would do.
The most logical.
Because one of the problems is equipment coming in and people coming in and out. You could cut that off, because all the defense was around Kyiv and was around Donetsk, Luhansk oblasts. At the invasion, how defended was that? Well, maybe it was more defended than we would know, but we're saying you could just push straight down there. It wouldn't take that much, but that didn't happen. But the only one thing I will push back on that is we know that Russia has a lot of men. They can call up, they can conscript and mobilize a lot of people. They've got a lot of reserve forces, and they have still a very large full-time force.
That's great, but the thing is, if their full-time force is really not that, they don't have the capabilities of the guys that are. I think the guys that are in the reserve force are legitimately don't have body armor, don't have the correct helmets, don't have. I mean, if this helmet right here, if this is the guys that are on the front lines type helmet, this is literally an Alibaba helmet. This is taking off a dead Russian right there.
I'm saying
this is an Alibaba, like. This is their guys. This is what they're wearing.
But this is things like this are very important for when you're talking offensive capability. Do I believe that currently Russia has the ability to launch a huge offensive as they did in the beginning? No. But when we're talking defensive,
that's totally
when we're talking. Yeah. The question you asked was about defending the borders.
Yeah.
And the things I'll say is they can pull a lot of people. And to defensive positions, you need nowhere near the training or equipment you do in offensive capability.
But you know what you're going to need in defensive positions if you're going to hold their border?
A lot of armor, equipment,
air defense.
This is another thing, too.
So they're moving. Okay, here's. Oh my God, my mind's blown. I just thought about something. Mm. They're going to force them to. They've been doing all these drone strikes and stuff on Moscow and just whatever. They haven't been. Maybe these drone strikes was really to actually shift their. To force them to shift a lot of their air fences back onto the actual border to make that buffer bigger. So when they do get these quote-unquote F-16s, which won't happen by the end of the year, all the air defenses have been shifted.
Potentially.
I never even thought about that situation or that scenario. Maybe Ukraine is literally playing the long game, which is not the game that I thought they should have been playing. They should not be playing the long game.
We haven't seen any aerial targets across that Belgorod region.
We've seen a ton of drone strikes.
The drone strikes we're seeing in Moscow are very
they're minimal
suspicious
damage
on some stuff. Yeah, and they've been hit by pansies and things like this.
They're very, very minimal. But what I'm saying is if they keep doing these things that they're doing, I think we will possibly see, and I'm saying this that I'm saying this, I don't know. I'm gonna tread lightly saying this. I think they could start ramping up the same way we've seen them do in other ways. I think we can see them start ramping up these kind of attacks into Russia with bigger stuff, more men, bigger stuff to force them to shift. Because right now these are just, let's be honest. This one was actually a lot larger of a group than the one from a week ago. The one that went to Gravion. I think that one was a much smaller than this one. I think this one was much larger. When you talk about force that actually shifted over.
I think the more realistic thing of why this is happening, and this is from a source that I have as well, is it's not really for that. There is a degree of lengthening the front line, but what they are saying is it's a sleight of hand. It's to distract forces in an area, to slip forces in further, to help arm, train, and equip, work with the partisans inside Russia. So a lot of the drone strikes, say the ones actually got to the Kremlin, if we say that that wasn't a false flag, then that really needed to be done from partisans inside mm-hmm. Russia. The trains we've seen hit are from partisans. We have seen political figures also, things like this. And partisans are having more and more effect from occupied areas of Ukraine and in Russian territory as well. And what my contact is saying is these are a distraction operation to distract that, like QRF, Supercross, distract it so forces can move 30, 40, 50 miles in or in other areas to then launch partisan actions. And we're going to see more of these partisan actions there because when we're talking aerial stuff, we're completely in Russian Federation. Russia has air superiority in their federation. They do.
You know what handbook this is taken directly out of?
They don't have it in Ukraine territory, I will say, but in their own territory, they do have.
This is taken out of the actual, like, Green Beret, like, Army Special Forces handbook. This is literally what this is, like, a million percent. The Green Beret in the U.S. Army, like, that's... They set up small militias.
Well, that's what the Green Berets are for. Though.
That's all they're... That's
Green Berets, the whole point of Green Beret is to mix in with the local populace.
They're taking... Well, so the Green Berets did a shitload of training inside of Ukraine with the Ukrainians way prior to, 2021?
22.
2022, excuse me, way prior to that.
Yeah.
So this what we're seeing right now, if this is the case, this is legitimately the Green Berets setting up and actually doing, or not the Green Berets, excuse me, the Ukrainians setting up the exact same thing the Green Berets do in South America, that they do inside the Philippines, that we did inside of Afghanistan, the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know how many little militia groups I set up inside of Afghanistan, out of my little tiny camp? We would go around to these towns, and we would just pick up the military age men that were inside the Taliban, and we literally trade them with AK. We had a Connick.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. Coda riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist Coda customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the Transit app or at coda.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
It's full of AKs. I had a Connex full. We had a Connex full of AKs. We just rip AKs out of and just hand them off to these guys, give them like a week of shooting training and say, all right, here you go. Go protect your little fucking village. When we call you up, we're going to go have some fun. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I can't speak on your time in Afghan, but like this is what I'm being told this is for, is a sleight of hand to move and get partisans more active. Because asymmetrical warfare, partisan warfare, things like this is almost impossible to counter. It is so difficult to counter. This is why we lost Afghanistan.
This is
why we lost Vietnam. Things like this. This is why, look, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of the people say it's easier to defeat a million man army than a thousand man insurgency.
This is literally like an insurgency / guerrilla warfare to the max.
Well, Ukraine have to do that to win.
No, they have to, because they're going to get the tea kicked in
conventional. If Ukraine,
it's not going to work conventional,
versus Russia, conventional warfare. If you had an open field, that is where Ukraine would not win, and that's how many people are looking at this. But asymmetrical warfare, as Ukraine has been doing, and how we've been training a lot of these forces on, of guerrilla tactics, things like this, is the reason we can do that. Why do you think that over the 20 years of Afghan, we ended up arming the Taliban further than when we arrived there because of asymmetrical warfare? Same with Vietnam, and there's other examples through this as well. Now, the basis of asymmetrical warfare is basically that a smaller force can defeat a larger force. And a good example of this, coming from my background, is the Australian military. The Australian military is very small, say the Australian Army. But most of our tactics, and you know, this is open source, was if a greater power was to invade Australia on the north, we would let the north fall and hit them and pepper pot rearwards. We would hit their logistics hubs as they come down, because if they want to get to any populations of Australia other than Darwin, but you know, Darwin, Townsville, whatever, but Melbourne, Sydney, Adelaide, Perth, whatever, even when you're talking south, east or west, you're going to have to come through 2,500 miles of desert. And the whole point of this is you're going to have, as you're trying to move logistical bloody trucks with fuel, tanks, plane, whatever, you're trying to move that down, guerrilla tactics as infantrymen like myself are going to be hitting this stuff in small groups. And how do you counter that? It is incredibly difficult. So, and I could go on asymmetric warfare. I wrote 15 pages or something the other day on asymmetric warfare. And this is how this is going. This is why it is so impossible to counter this, and why a larger force can be completely held up. And that is why I'm being told is these incursions we're seeing are purely just a movement to get more highly trained asymmetric soldiers across the border here. So if you want to go down the asymmetric path, I can talk about that for a bit if you'd like. What is the actual definition of asymmetrical warfare? And I did like a 40-minute video on this. Just talking.
I definitely don't want to listen to 40 minutes of asymmetrical
warfare. No, but I'm just going to read just to get people an idea of what it actually is and why I think this relates to it. So asymmetrical warfare refers to the type of conflict where there is significant imbalance in military power, resources, or capability between opposing parties. In such a scenario, the weaker side, often a non-state actor or less technologically advanced, force a non-state actor, of course, this is a state actor, so it is differently, but less technologically advanced, yeah, we can see that with especially partisans, adopts unconventional tactics and strategies to compensate for its disadvantages and challenge the stronger adversary. So, does Ukraine currently have the facility to shoot down a Tu-22 bomber supersonic carrying Kh missiles? No, they do not have that capability unless they fly over Kyiv with Patriots. But as long as it stays in the Russian Federation, they do not have the capability to do that. But that is the disadvantage. The compensation for that is, well, then we get partisans who are working in around these areas to build drones and hit it on the ground, or partisans in Belarus to then land on top of the AWACS aircraft and do it. We're seeing this again and again. Unlike conventional warfare, which typically involves two or more state actors engaging in direct large-scale battles using established military doctrines, asymmetric warfare involves tactics that exploit vulnerabilities and weaknesses in the more powerful opponent. Some common characteristics and strategies associated with asymmetric warfare include, so exploit vulnerabilities and weaknesses. What are some vulnerabilities and weaknesses Russia have? They have vulnerabilities and weaknesses in support in their own country. Therefore, you can recruit partisans more easily. Recruiting Chinese partisans in America would be very difficult. Recruiting Ukrainian partisans or Western partisans in Russia, more simple than that. And that's just one of the vulnerabilities. And another vulnerability, Russia is a massive country. Now, many, many benefits come with being a massive landmass. I think it's 2-point-something times the size of America. But what problem is that? Well, then you have to defend massive borders and huge areas. Now, the common characteristics are guerrilla tactics that you employ, hit-and-run tactics, ambushes, sabotage, and other irregular warfare techniques, things like IEDs. We've seen all of this. We've seen hit-and-run tactics. We've seen ambushes. We've seen a lot of sabotage. Number two is insurgency and terrorism. That you will then incorporate insurgency tactics aiming to gain control over specific territory and challenge existing government and cause instability. That is exactly what we have seen in Belgorod. Bryansk is you gain a level of control over that and challenge the existing government. That's why they're calling it Belgorod and why they're holding then bloody press conferences in there. It's to get the instability of that. Number three is unconventional weapons and methods. Asymmetric warfare involved use of unconventional weapons such as IEDs, suicide bombings, cyber attacks. So IEDs, we've seen a lot of that. We've seen IEDs on train lines. We've seen explosives handed to figures in Russia as well, like that a doll thing or whatever blew up the guy inside the Wagner headquarters. Number four, propaganda and informational warfare, that the weaker actors may utilize propaganda, misinformation, psychological operations to shape public opinion, gain support, or undermine the morale of the stronger adversary. Now, Ukraine has been fantastic at, we've spoken about, the informational space. They have complete dominance on the informational space about what is going on, and you alluded to something earlier about that the talking about the offensive was then aired on TV inside Crimea as well. Now, did that happen 100%? We're unsure. But that's just one example that I could think of, but there's so much of that. Now, number five is blending in with the civilian population. Non-state actors may hide among civilian populations, making it challenging for the stronger side to identify and target them without causing collateral damage or loss of civilians' lives. Now, this is exactly why we had so many problems in somewhere like Afghan with, was they didn't wear a uniform in the most part. It was very hard to actually distinguish them. In Ukraine, if one of these foreign legion guys, these Russian foreign legion guys, crosses into Russia, changes into plain clothes, speaks the language, knows the background, could be from that area, how do you identify him out if he's acting in another state from there? And I could go on about this for days. I'm reading a book specifically on this at the moment. So, you know, and we'll just talk about to relate to you and I. And this is a quote from a book as well. After 2 decades of war in Afghanistan, the United States found itself again having to negotiate with an insurgency that lacked air power, tanks, heavy artillery, and sometimes even boots. A relatively small number of Taliban insurgents fought the most powerful military in the world to a standstill, and a prior generations of Afghans did the same thing to the Soviet Union. The Taliban represent an oppressive ideology that has no respect for human rights, but many insurgents are fighting for those rights, and if insurgencies and uprisings were easily crushed, now that's not saying the Taliban, that's just saying insurgencies around the world, insurgency and uprisings were easily crushed, there would be no possibility for political change or freedom in the world. So this is exactly what it is talking about from here, and that asymmetrical warfare is absolutely in play here, and I believe the bigger player in these border crossings than the simple answers of PR and taking equipment off the front.
I'm going to tell you right now,
PR... I'm sorry for just having a massive rant.
I know, we're used to it. We let Willie get the mic for like too long, and he just talks about literally so much stuff that I sometimes just zone
but does
out.
But does that make sense?
I mean, I know what asymmetrical warfare is. To me, it's nothing more than just guerrilla warfare tactics.
That's basically what it is.
That's all
but
it is.
But you can see so, how I mean, that, effective when, that
you,
can
you
be.
Just gave them like a 6-minute spiel, and we could have just said guerrilla warfare tactics are going to set up on the side of the road with the IEDs, small arms are going to bounce in, pop out, hit them, bounce in, pop out, hit them, yeah, smack them in the face.
People might not know how that or how why that is so effective as well.
What do you mean, like the... What portion it's not effective?
No. So, I mean, people may not realize. No, the reason I explained it for so long is if you just say guerrilla warfare is setting up IDs, smacking them, and then leaving, people may not get the realization of how effective that actually is and how difficult that actually is to counter.
Well, when you're talking about so that's guerrilla warfare, in my personal experience, I had to fucking deal with it on a real basis. These motherfuckers will set up in a small team of, say, 6 to 10. They'll hit you with an IED. They'll fuck with you for about 2 hours, and then they'll leave. That's it. And now you're fucked for the entire day. Guerrilla warfare in itself is extremely powerful, not for just killing a few guys and bouncing, but also in the mental aspect. You're mentally fucking draining the individual over and over and over again.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
The same things happen over again. Small, you can't do anything about it because you're getting hit with nothing. At times, IEDs themselves, pressure plate ones especially, you run over those some bitches and there's nobody there to even. It's being detonated by you're literally the person who's going to detonate the son of a gun. You know what I mean? That right there in itself, talking about guerrilla warfare tactics. That would be detrimental to the Russian military if they were to actually start implementing this kind of stuff across on the other side of the border, because it's not just going to be targeting their soldiers, but now it's going like this and widespread to the civilians.
But we have seen it. And there's a whole other element of that too. We saw guerrilla warfare happen with that figurine get passed to that very prominent guy.
Yeah.
So that's a degree. But then it also causes a huge degree of distrust in the population.
Mm-hmm.
Why the reason the American troops and Australian troops, whatever, had a lot of distrust in the locals they're working with was you had green on blue problems. You had this guy who you'd been training for a week turn around and shoot you up. And there's a distrust, and you can get distrust in civilian populations as well. When working with the civilians in Afghan, did you know that they were on your side telling information or working for the Taliban? So there's this degree of then distrust. And if you can put distrust then into the regular Russian people being like, well, I don't know if you're working for Ukraine or working for the FSB in Russia or working for this. And already, ex-Soviet states tend to be very paranoid about things like that because they came out of the era of the KGB, of gulags, just horrific shit like that. People dobbing in on your neighbor of things like this. There tends to be a massive level of paranoia anyway. So they're pushing into that as well. And asymmetric warfare is something that will be more and more implemented, I believe, and already has been implemented greatly. And my person said to me as well that we actually don't get reported on a lot of what's happening, because if a train blows up, say an IED goes off under a railway, and you're bugged out because you have to, the media main, we're relying on that to get reported through Russian media and people on phones and social media. So a lot of it actually happening isn't actually seeing it happen as well. So there's definitely a huge degree of that as well happening.
I'm sorry. I'm sitting here scrolling through what's going on Twitter, and it's just, it's kind of weird right now. They're trending Kharkiv, Belgorod, and woke. Those three things right now are actually the trending topic right now. So so we were talking about at the very beginning of them actually bouncing over the border.
Yeah.
That's actually got them retrending back here in the United States of being a topic people actually give a little bit of something. And I mean, they don't care really that much.
Yeah.
But they will start caring if they start winning. Right now, Ukraine's still not winning. So that's why America's
it's such a 50-50. And I will say as well, and this is something that I didn't touch on before just because it slipped my mind, was Prigozhin. There's been a lot of happening with Prigozhin, loves talking shit about
anyone.
And everyone doesn't know where. I actually asked my Telegram chat this the other day, what do you actually think Prigozhin's really playing at? Now, many people saying they can't believe Prigozhin hasn't been bloody taken out because of the shit he will say, which I believe as well. Like, holy shit. If there was a Western military commander spouting shit like that against other commanders, I'm not saying they'd be taken out, but they'll lose their job within a bloody second. So,
but there's not a job for him to lose since he actually made his own job.
No, but he's employed to be in that position, and he is a part of that, like, oligarch world of the Russians too, which we have seen a lot of oligarchs
go missing. I think he's too big to be taken out.
I agree too that he's very popular. But the issue is too, how popular do you let him get? Could he become too popular?
I don't think he can get any less popular. If Prigozhin right now, I think, is on almost the same level as Putin when it comes to people.
Some would argue he's more.
Like popular. Right now in this war, if you were to have a conversation with anybody, I think
that creates a problem for Putin.
No shit, it causes.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm getting.
Yeah.
But what I ask is, like, what is he playing at here? And it scales from, and I know people are saying that he's this is all online fake beef, that it's made for, you know, this, hey, Putin, I'm going to call you out and we're going to do this to get more weapons, get the support of more people on this side, blah, 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 all the way through to there's a chance of a real civil war and Wagner pushing then into the Kremlin. So that's the left and right of arc of what the potentials of this are. But there's been ongoing beef with Kadyrov, who's the leader of the Chechens as well, and Yevgeny Prigozhin, so I'm getting my names all mixed up here, but they have said to really resolve the beef between those two. And Putin is pushing on that his Wagner PMC then move on into this Belgorod region and defend that region as well. So they've extracted out of Bakhmut over the past couple of weeks that they refit, and then they are the ones that go and then do this Belgorod defense as well. And like how Ukraine is using these soldiers, because these are being, at the end of the day, they are Ukrainian backed. Are they working in the interest of Ukraine? Yes. There is questions around, are they specifically armed from them? Are they this? Are they that? That's a question to be had. But are they working in the interest of Ukraine? Absolutely, that are crossing here. Now, the reason there's this level of separation is because they're not under the UAF, Ukraine Armed Forces, banner. People are speculating of, well, what if Wagner start doing equivalents in other areas? How does that then look? Does that give the same degree of separation? Because I know online it wouldn't be seen like that. If Wagner PMC, I'm just giving ideas here of what I've seen people reading into. Well, if we're saying there's a level of separation and no one can touch them, fine, you know, whatever. But then what if Wagner went into Poland and blew up something and said, well, that's not the Russian military doing it, it was a private-backed militia here. It's that degree of separation from there. So it's just an interesting idea to be had, and this is why we will see distancing of certain elements from, we'll see distancing of Russian elements from Wagner, we'll see distancing of Ukrainian elements from some of these crossings as well. But we all know at the end of the day, this unit works in the interest of Ukraine, and Wagner works in the interest of Russia, somewhat, and interests of money. They're a proper mercenary group. But it's a very interesting thing. And we could see the redeployment of Wagner there. We know Wagner has a lot of guys, a lot of experienced guys too, that, you know, bloody hell, I'd rather go defend the border in Belgorod than go back into Bakhmut. So we probably will see the redeployment there. And at the end of the day, Prigozhin needs to keep himself relevant. If your business becomes irrelevant, your business collapses. Prigozhin needs guys needed.
Imagine how much money Prigozhin has actually made during this war, because I don't know who Prigozhin was prior to the Ukraine war.
Prigozhin is incredibly wealthy. So is Putin. So is Kadyrov. So is Shoigu. All these guys. Because at the end of the day, this works differently to, you know, a Western military where your chief of defense might be paid $300,000 a year, $1 million a year. Where a lot of these guys, say on the instance of Prigozhin is an oligarch. That's how he affords this. There's another founder as well. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But Wagner Group, he's one of the founders too. He had other investors too. And people invest in this. And there is interest. And there are groups around the world that operate in... And this is the definition of a mercenary group, is you work in the interest of who's paying you the most. And you don't think that there are groups, both Western and Eastern, working in places such as Africa, Southeast Asia, purely for money, that are working for, hey, X mining company wants to go into this region and suss this out. Right, we need to get a coup or something going here, then to go in and pull money out of that. Bloody Tesla have done it. Now, I'm not accusing Tesla of making a bloody PMC to do this, but have Tesla had involvement in coups in Africa to dig up lithium? Absolutely. Do we turn a blind eye to it because it doesn't directly affect us, if anything benefits us, and because these people don't live in Europe? Absolutely. We turn a blind eye to it. Is that happening? Absolutely. Wagner work as well in Southeast Asia, Africa, slaughter people. There's been slaughtering. There's genocides happening all the time through there as well. And we turn a blind eye to it. But it's part of it, and like I've said, we're going to see a higher rise of these PMCs being involved due to that level of separation you can get and plausible deniability as well from the state. But we will see more of these crossings and partisan actions kick up as well as if you're in Russia, you speak Russian, you know the customs, whatever, you are a Russian person, say if you're one of the guys who's operating here or a partisan, how the fuck do you get caught out? If you're careful, very, very hard to catch these people. Incredibly difficult. But, yeah, that's my spiel.
Well, your spiels are always a spiel.
Literally. There's a lot of information in asymmetric warfare in there.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll be back. We're actually going to do minimum 5 episodes next week. Just because I want to. And I was actually kind of busy this week. I'm not going to lie.
You were super busy. That's why I've been doing videos and you haven't.
Yeah, I was really busy this week. So I do love you guys.
I will say, I don't want to plug myself, but if you're actually interested in like a full 40-minute asymmetric warfare, like
Willie OAM.
It's boring as shit. I will say it's boring. There's no visuals. There's no nothing. It's literally me reading out of military doctrine, some books, and some other, like, on my own stuff as well. It's fucking boring. But if you're actually interested in that, if you're a dork like me, it's really how I am. But people might think asymmetric warfare is interesting. I
think it's great, but I just guerrilla warfare. You've
participated in it.
I know, but it's just whatever. It's like, whatever. I do love you guys. Thanks for hanging out with me. Go check out Will. You guys always know who he is. He's a guy, and I do love you guys. I'm out.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy?
Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.